Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. When you consider the scale of the universe, do you feel small? There's a reason for that. You know, sci-fi movies emerged out of our shared desire to explore the vastness of space. Contemplating the universe can leave us feeling small, insignificant, and often leaves us with unanswered questions which feel more like burdens. Join me now as we continue in the second installment of the Psalms' Greatest Hits, where we visit the 8th Psalm today. These times of reflection can grow our soul as we peek within the deepest part of our being. May this series allow us all to see beyond everything. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for coming back. I am so glad to have you with me for yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. Welcome to the program. My name is Kevin Winder. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach. I will be your host today. So glad to have you with me. Welcome to all you new folks who are signing up for the podcast, who have signed up for Winder's Windshield, my weekly newsletter. If you're not signed up for either of those, I invite you to go and do so. You can find both links to do that at my website, kevinwinder.com. Remember, I spell my name like the number 7 with 2 E's, no I. I'd love to have you visit there, check it out, look at all the new pages that I have, and see if something doesn't perk your interest. There's tons of content. It's all free of charge. A lot there for you to look at. Go to kevinwinder.com, do it today, sign up, tell your friends, and then when these podcasts come out, you guys can have something very interesting to talk about. Well, folks, as you know, I do a lot of series, and I don't label them as series, but there's this one that we started, and this will be the second installment today. We're looking at the Psalms' Greatest Hits. That's right. Well, the Psalms are essentially poetry and songs, and they're the written, spoken, captured essence of humanity in word and in music. And though we don't have the tunes to play them, we can certainly tap into the underlying song that's within each one of them. And there's so many of them. There's 150 psalms. There's a number of them that are my absolute favorites. I'm kind of going through and selecting a few that I think are going to tap into that deeper part of our soul, our humanity. You do not have to be a Christian or a religious person to appreciate these. Obviously, these come from the Hebrew scriptures. So, the writers were not Christians. Do we remember that, folks? But these speak to everybody, right? Every one of us belongs here today. And I want to access that part that is a shared aspect of our humanity. And nothing seems to do that like space, like looking at the stars, laying on your back on a starry night, or pondering the depths of space, right? Science fiction kind of gets at it. And today, that is what we're going to look at. So we're going to look at the 8th Psalm. It's not a deep dive exegetical series to kind of titillate your intellect. I'm not going to wow you with deep concepts. If the Psalms are not experienced deep within the soul, then the words are ultimately lost, right? This is not an analytical, intellectual head game that we're doing here. This has to be experienced. You have to feel it, right? If Led Zeppelin plays their music and all you do is analyze it textually from a philosophical perspective and you miss kind of the deeper experience, then something is lost, right? That's also true for the Psalms. My purpose in this series is to really cut through the exoskeleton and the veneer, the persona that we live with all the time, and allow that bottomless well of love that's captured in these words to kind of burst out and just take us wherever it might take us. Can you do that? Can you be open? Can you find that space now? Well, let's begin. This is the 8th Psalm, and it begins with the psalmist saying this. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, this phrase actually begins and ends the eighth psalm. They serve kind of like bookends, which hold three really profound trajectories of thought. And we're going to talk about these three trajectories of thought. But the whole point is that, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. There's this place of awe. Now, we always hear this concept of fear of the Lord. And so many times we really misunderstand that as pee your pants fear. When I think the psalmist is talking about fear of the Lord, and the wisdom literature talks about fear of the Lord, they're talking about the very beginning of wisdom is to have awe, to have wonder. When you begin with awe and wonder, something changes within us, okay? And so we're going to look at the three trajectories that are in between these bookends of, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And the first thing that we glean from that is that the gravity and the glory, the weight of God, is mostly beyond us. However, we can each perceive it. This is the amazing thing. I've looked at other religions and some of their theologies, and some of them push God so high into the stratosphere that their theology is actually that God is completely unknowable. He's too big to know. And from a surface level, I understand that we're saying, I get that infinity is beyond our corporeal grasp, right? We can't quite understand the highest number. We understand that there's aspects of God that go so far beyond us that we can't. But to say that it's all of that, that that's only God, is all of it is beyond us, is to miss something really profound, right? Because what happens is we are able to perceive this unobtainable bigness somehow in the smallest corners of our experience in life. And this is how the psalmist worded it. He said, "You've set your glory above the heavens, yet out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of our foes to still the enemy and the avenger." You see, God is often revealed to us in paradox. Small things under the right light are anything but small. Let me think about the work of a pathologist. Look at what they're dealing with under a microscope every single day. Those are anything but small diagnoses. It seems unlikely that a baby could actually still our enemy. But have you noticed that some passing moments possess more depth and beauty than our frailty can even bear? What is it like when your newborn child grabs your pinky or smiles at you for the first time or comes into the world and you're looking at it and you're like, I was so unsure about what all this was going to be, and now I'm looking at this life. How you would never even contemplate the capacity for your heart to love another person more than what happens, right? Babies, children, the depth when you look at them, it's like they're seeing something in you and you're seeing something in them. It's like they haven't forgotten where they've come from. There's this moment, right? And so that's what the psalmist is saying, that you're so big, yet it's in these small things. Some moments do possess more depth and beauty than our frailty can bear. The only possible response to such beauty is to weep. And there's a world of experience that's just beyond the purview of our senses, of which we know almost nothing about. Right? The love we cherish in life is borrowed. It's invisible. But it displaces the daily horrors that we all face. Right? You can get bogged down in the news, in the negativity, in the spin jobs, in the horror of human condition. And if you look at that long enough, the shadow will be big enough that you'll be convinced the sun will never come out. And some of you have never even seen the sun. You've lived under the shadow of such weight your whole life. But this psalm shows us that if we slow down long enough, If we look deep enough, behold, it's all right here. It's all right now. Heaven really has come to us. And we can join its flow each and every moment. That is the first trajectory. The second trajectory that comes out of this passage is that contemplating creation makes us feel small, and it births deeper existential questions within us. I mean, have you ever laid down on a starry night on a sleeping bag and looked up and just said, gosh, I just feel so small? Have you ever watched a YouTube video where they show the size of our sun compared to some of the suns that are out there and the distances of the galaxy, and they try and put it to scale, and all of a sudden your mind just breaks down because you're just like, it's incredible. The psalmist phrased it like this: when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You see, this tiny moment of bigness erupts questions about our juxtaposition within it all. Right? We feel so small, and yet you're like, if this is all created, if this is all design, then who are we that you are mindful of us? We are more than just observers, folks, right? Think about it. We're also somehow participants. The tiny insect on a leaf is amazing in and of itself. And as we look at it and contemplate it, it starts to boggle our mind. Am I the only person who's ever going to see this tiny little insect? The answer is probably. And how much more the vast universe into which we find ourselves? I mean, we just can't fathom it all. And in light of modern science, the mere scale of the universe shrinks us to something much smaller than the insect in our gaze. And we always ask, like, who are we? We're just a speck of dust. And so often science just concludes that we're so minuscule, we're so unimportant, we're just a little gaseous expulsion in the universe. Are we alone? Some say no. Do we have a real and lasting purpose? Or are we just evolving to destroy our planet and then be gone in this evolutionary chain? Does God give us more consideration than we give the bug? These are the deeper questions that come from looking around at our physical universe. The third trajectory that comes out of this passage is that humanity is not inconsequential, but it shares and participates in the glory of God and creation. Yeah, this is the answer to science. I'm sorry, you're not just a gaseous star's expulsion over time and random chance of events. No, there's order. There's convergence. There's beauty. You know it all to be true. And if beauty exists, then this is not random. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. And so the psalmist is looking at this whole creation, and he's basically saying, you've made us a little higher than every other animal, and now we have dominion here. And despite evolutionary theory and its necessity to reduce us to some gaseous expulsion of a neighboring star, there is clearly something profoundly unique about humanity compared to all the other species. It's our ability to self-reflect, to contemplate, to explore and to know something of consciousness itself, which means that we live beyond a perfunctory instinct modality. You cannot get beyond consciousness, and all of science is moving away from this idea that consciousness is nothing but neurotransmitters firing. No, they're actually saying that consciousness creates the physical world. Now that we can lead and shape and direct and exploit all aspects of creation, it kind of reveals that we are endowed with some sort of power and even purpose, even when we fail to grasp what it might be. You see, our impact proves that we are co-creators. Oh, that we would take this to heart so that our powers would be used to create heaven rather than hell, right? That our powers would restore and enlarge the lives of people rather than oppress and shrink and beat down and hurt and harm. We have the power to do them both. And so often we fall short. So I'd like you to come with me. I'd like to invite you to create some sacred space and pay attention to your soul. Do it today. Do it this week. Just sit with nature. If you're a busy worker like me this week, I was traveling, spent many, many hours on the road. And so often when you're on a time schedule, you don't feel like you have time to just be. But I pulled over at a rest stop. I walked off behind the building in the middle of rural Idaho. And I just sat in the hot day. It was nearly 100 degrees. And I just sat by this dry old tree. Be still by a river. Sit by a tree. Stand in a breeze. Do something. Just be out in nature, in creation. Start at the sense level. What is it that you feel? What are you perceiving? What do you hear? What do you see? And then turn everything mechanical off. Notice your thoughts if you can, but don't let them take you away. Just observe and come back to right here, right now. Contemplate your juxtaposition in the universe. Are all the things that consume your energy going to matter in 100 years? This hot, you know, driving effort of getting to the next place, is that really scoring points? Or is there something beyond you that you're just skimming over because of your hurry and your rush? You see, you are not disconnected from anything. You would have just blown by, just like I did, the rest stop and all the serene nature that was around it. I would have felt as though I'm disconnected from all this and I need to get back to the things that I care about to connect, but it was all right there. Though a small part of you is there, you are an integral part to it all, just as I am and everyone else is. In this place, I want to ask you, who are you? In the sobering stillness by the old dry tree, what is your real name? See, it's not your indexes. It's not who you are, right? It's all these things. It's not that. I want you to stay in that spot. Stay as long as you can. Remember the moment. Remember the depth that connects you beyond the stars, beyond the tiny bug on the leaf, and come back as often as possible. This, my folks, is spiritual practice. This is soul care. And so may the tiny insect along with the vast universe reveal and inspire our greater purpose in God and in creation. May we just pause long enough with the psalmist to take it in. Just take in who we are as well as who we aren't. Maybe in that moment you'll realize you are not your job. May the answer come, which fills us with overflowing. Like I said, we are not our job or our work that we think is so important. We are not our last name. We are not who we are married to. We are not our zip code. We are not our, you know, political orientation. We are not our sexual orientation. We are not our car. We are not our house. We are not our purchases. We are not our friends or the people we hang out with. We are not what is wrong with us. Do you hear that? You are not what is right with you. In that moment, you are simply the beloved of God, just like everyone else. May we all live in such a way that we actually believe that to be true. Hi, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio. You know, making lasting change is really hard. And if you've tried but failed to change a habit or a compulsive behavior, then you know what I mean. And I want you to know you're in good company. In my book, Getting Better When You Can't, I deconstruct the mechanics of behavior. And so when your willpower or motivation or inspiration isn't enough, or when therapy, brain science, or religious guilt just didn't cut it, why not try wisdom? I offer a centuries-old approach to personal change that was 10 years in the making from countless hours of coaching. Go and get Getting Better When You Can't. Get it today. You can download it immediately on iBooks or Kindle if you want, or if you'd like a hard copy or the audio CD, just get it from my website at kevinwinder.com. Look for Getting Better When You Can't.